Blog
Good
Talk
evening.
Radio.
Good evening and welcome. This is Stephanie. I'm your host of Laid Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. Me, along with your host, Tyson Cherry. Tyson seems to be having a problem with it on his end with his phone, but he will be back online and we will talk. How are you guys doing this evening? I just had a crazy, crazy experience that took me up until 18 seconds before the show started. Right before the show started, my phone just cut off, and I'm scrambling trying to get back online. But anyway, let me let Tyson in. Let's see how Tyson's doing.
Hey, Tyson,
how you doing?
Thing. Hi.
Yours
my
did the same thing?
Saying yes. Just saying that I thought it was me.
No, my phone just cut off, and I'm like, what? You know, but I did it. I got back in there on time. How was your how's your day going?
Good. I cannot complain. Is everybody here?
We're gonna see. I have another caller on the line. I hope that's our guest. I really do hope that's our guest. I thought I had a different number, but we'll see how it's going. We'll see how it's going. How was your weekend?
Fine, yes. I ain't do nothing this weekend, no. Matter of fact, I forgot about the yesterday. I did not go because I forgot. Yes.
Oh, I ended up staying home, too. I was going to go to the, talking about the Susan G. Coleman breast cancer walk.
Yeah.
I was going to go, but the forecast called for rain.
Yes.
So I didn't want to.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I know, and it did not rain at all yesterday.
Yeah, it did rain in the evening, though, a little later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to chance my baby out there in the rain getting damaged.
Mm-hmm.
That was that.
I don't blame you either. So.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I had me a good time start this week. Well, not this weekend, Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Thursday night, I went out to a birthday party in a bar. Now, I'm 47 years old. This is my first time really going to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very different experience than I thought it would be. Because, you know, you see bars on TV or whatever, and they're kind of seedy, dirty type of things, you know, whatever. But this was a very nice place, and I really, really had a good time. I had a wonderful time. It's called The Keep, and it's in Brooklyn. And it was a very nice time. I had a good time dancing my little self off. I've been dancing a lot, Tyson.
Okay. I've been going to the class now, huh?
No, it's not even been a class. It's just, you know what?
Okay.
I feel like a new freedom. Like, I feel like a new freedom. Like the reset button has been pressed on my life. And I'm usually a very tame person. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? Boring? Okay, we'll use that word.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my girlfriend, I said, listen, if I was a noodle, I'd be a cellophane noodle, those clear noodles. If I was bread, I'd be bread, none uncut. You know, so it's just like, but I feel more, I don't know. I've been having fun. But anyway, let's go to our.
Caller, huh? Hello? Hello?
5223 is your last numbers. I'm going to let you in. Hi, how are you? This is
Hello.
Stephanie. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Mr. Lasu.
Lasu, how are you?
Fine.
How you doing,
yourself,
sir? Stephanie? Good. All right, good. Hold on. Let me let Tyson back in.
How you doing, Mr. Tyson?
The phones are going crazy today. My phone is going crazy today.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Lasu on the line.
Okay, yes.
So Lasu, where's Darrell? Is there, there she is. Hold on, let me let her in. Darrell?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. I didn't know if you guys were going to make it.
Yeah, because I remember.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. Our, you know, the show is Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. And what we like to promote is loving and intimate relationships with people, you know, with disabilities, because you find that a lot of us, we don't have that opportunity, that opportunity to be in relationships, or we don't take the opportunity. So the first thing I'd like to ask you guys is, how did you meet?
You met at ICS.
Oh, you met at ICS. Okay, how long ago?
Probably
about
2 months
ago. It was like more than 2 months. It
was
like April.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay. So was it love at first sight? You know, Lasu, what was it about Darrell that captured your attention? Hold on. Are you on speaker? Are you on speaker? Phone?
Yeah, hold on.
Can you take it off of speaker? Because it's hard to hear you.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, well, what you said, what attracted me to her?
Yeah, what captured your attention?
Just
besides her being beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that, so you took the words right out of my mouth. But other than that, though, you know what I'm saying, it was her heart, you know what I'm saying, the good conversations that we had from the beginning, you know, it was just beautiful, you know, and it was something that, you know, so I said, let me pursue further and see where that go.
Okay. And you, Darrell?
Mm-hmm.
What captured your attention about Lasu?
Because when he first, the way he talked, and he had this, like, bad boy image about him. So I like him.
Bad boy?
Mm-hmm.
You said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you guys finally get together? How, you know?
Well, we basically, you know what I'm saying, we talked, you know what I'm saying, conversated for a while, you know, then basically, you know, like any other people out there, you know, so on social media, and we Facebooked each other just to let, like, you know, to get the contact with each other and everything. And then it just took off from there. It was like something that was real natural, like, you know, God given, you know, basically.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. Darrell, may I ask?
This is Tyson. I'm very happy for both of you. Yes.
Thank
you, and y'all relationship proved me wrong, because I thought that being disabled, it's possible to be in a relationship, you see? Mm-hmm.
That's good. I'm glad you see that, Tyson. You know,
one
of the conversations that me and Tyson had, you know, before was about being disabled and being in a relationship. And he's saying that your relationship is, you know, you kind of proved him wrong, and you're showing him that possibility of finding love even though you have a disability. Darrell, were you born with your disability?
Yes.
Okay. And in your life, has it been difficult for you to date, or have you found it easy to date, or what?
Well, when I was younger, I had trouble dating because I was, like, shy, and it's like when you come up to people, whether they're walking or disabled, because I don't have a preference of either one. I can do both.
I'm sorry. Are you on speakerphone?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. It was harder for me when I was younger, because if I talk to somebody that could walk, they always ask me a whole bunch of questions, like, were you born that way? Am I going to get what you have? And like whatever other questions came up. And those questions were difficult to answer, even though I knew the answers to them. It's still like, if people don't understand your my disability, it was hard for me to date them. But as I got older, it became a lot easier for me.
Okay. And Lasu, could you explain to the audience about your disability?
Well, you know, basically I got stabbed in my back and shot twice. When I was 19 years old, I've been in the wheelchair ever since. Basically, well, you know, like any other young youth out there that, you know, saying that they're stubborn and think they know it, everything, they know everything in the world, you know what I'm saying? I just took to the streets rapidly, and I thought that that's where the life was at, but it wasn't. And I got, while I'm being in the streets, because I didn't want to deal with my mother at the time, you know how, oh, well, you know, you can't buy my booze and get out. So I was like, okay, no problem, you know. And then I left. But while I was in the streets, it was like, yo, tired. I ain't had a way to rest my head. And then when I found my friend, or something, my friend found me in a situation where he said, yo, you're just dead tired. You're out here making money. But at the same token, it's like, you ain't sleeping days. And I told myself, well, if I find somewhere where I could rest my head at and stuff like that, then I'd be okay. And at the time, he said, well, he's leaving from his mother's house. I mean, his mother's house to go live with his grandmother. And since I knew them, you know what I'm saying, if I asked his mother, then his mother would give me the room, you know what I'm saying, his room, you know what I'm saying, if I pay her for it. And that's what it was. But at the same token, I didn't know the situation at hand that I was in, because she was in a domestic violence situation, and she didn't let me know that she had an order of protection against the stepfather. And he thought, by me being there, he thought me and her had something going on. And,
oh,
you know,
my
and
God.
That's what happened. Yeah, and that's what happened. How jealousy and envy.
My God. And this happened in 19, you said?
Yeah, it happened August 26, 1990 in East New York.
And so being so young and becoming disabled, how did that affect you in terms of, you know, just basically your overall confidence, And feeling, you know, what was your outlook for the rest of your life? Like, did you feel like
basically it was like in the beginning, because my whole world was like, I was a very athletic person. My whole life was about dancing, and dance was like more like my life and everything. And then it's like when this happened to me, I couldn't move my legs. I couldn't accept it. And at the time, you know, my closest peoples, you know, at the time, you know, God's going to be your only vengeance, but, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen other ways. So, and my, friends or whatever, they passed me a little gun or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to protect myself. But I'm like, listen, I'm in the hospital. This ain't the mob coming after me. I'm not like that, you know, like that or whatever. So they was like, oh, well. So they're like, all right, well, you know, well, anyway, hold on to that. And so, you know, whenever, whatever. So I'm like, all right. And, but then when they gave it to me, the night they had gave it to me, and I had took the gun and I cocked it back and I put it to my head, and I was plotting suicide. But I couldn't deal with the fact that, oh, I couldn't really move my legs and dance no more, get up and do nothing. And at the time or whatever, I was in a private room at Brookdale Hospital. And it's like, once I put it to my head, you know what I'm saying, the door was closed, and I put it to my head, and then, like, I cocked it back, and I was about to squeeze, and then when I did, it was like, before I did squeeze, it was like, it was an echo voice, like, saying, don't do it, and I'm like, huh? It makes you, like, lose your mind, like, hold on a minute, I know I heard something, like, okay, and then that's what happened. But, so I put it down, and then I picked it back up, and then it repeated again. And then I put it back down. Then that next morning, a preacher came to my room and asked if I believe in God. I said, if I don't, I said, I'm a lost soul in the world. He asked, can he pray for me? I said, no, you can't pray for me. I said, well, please, may you please pray for me. So instead of him volunteering to pray for me, I begged him to pray for me. And he did it, whatever. And from there, you know, I guess, you know, I'm here, I'm still here to this day, so God, you know, I'm blessed to God for that.
That's right.
Wow.
As long as
what
you're here for the story. Oh, my goodness. We have a lot in common. We have a lot in common, too. I've been to Brooklyn Hospital also, yes. For me, it's been 10 years in the wheelchair. Yes, I had a stroke. That's what happened to me, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
God
now, Darrell.
Here,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Darrell. In coming up in dating, were you was your family very protective over you when you know when you were coming up? Pardon me?
Yeah, they were. They were. They were protecting.
Okay.
I think they were protecting, but they were a little controlling too.
You said they were controlling.
Yeah, it's like they were protective, but they were controlling at the same time.
Oh, okay. Okay. How old were you when you started dating?
Well, the first person they let me date, I was like maybe 11, 12. I think 11, 12.
Okay. All right.
And I was only in school.
Okay.
In school, like, you know, you like somebody in school, that's how it was.
Right.
But, like, to go out, well, the same person I dated when I was 12, they let me go out with him when I got, like, 15, maybe 16, somewhere like that, when I was 15, 16. But, you know, now I do it my own, so. And even though they did try to still tell me what to do, I still do what I want to do.
Now, at this age?
Yeah, they still have their opinions. They still try to have their opinions. I mean, you know, you can have your opinion, but, you know, you can't dictate whatever. You know, they still try to have their control. That's why I said protective and control. Some people don't know how to twirl around between both. It's one thing to be protective, but another thing to be controlled.
No, and this is not, I don't specifically mean at this time with Lasu, but in general, have they felt that people would try and take advantage of you if you were dating?
To be honest with you, I don't know because I never let go into my personal life with them because I'm more of a private person, so I keep what I do to myself. And just since I've been with Lasu, they, you know, my sister, she had her own opinions, which, yeah, she put it out there to me. But I just thought, in the manner and how she put it, instead of coming to me directly, she went to Facebook and did it. So it's like, I don't mind your opinion. I'd rather you tell me directly to my face in private. I'm a private person.
Yeah, because I read that, too. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people
read that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Lasu, since you've been 19, that's a very young age to become disabled, and and we all know young men. You know, that's in your prime right there. You know,
right.
For dating and things like that. Have you found it difficult to, you know, get your Mac on in a wheelchair,
actually in the beginning of my life it wasn't like so difficult. It was like, you know, I guess
it was
changing times. No, it wasn't. It's like, I mean, because I had like I'm like basically, you know, so I'm a sweet person in general, so you know what I'm saying, but to a degree sometimes within my life, I felt like, you know, are they really there for me? You know what I'm saying? They love me because, you know, they love me. Or is this thing that, oh, yeah, you're just there because I got a little check. I got a little money. I got my own place. And they can just, you know what I'm saying? They got somewhere they can stay under and stuff like that. No, that's when I had to decipher, you know what I'm saying, the difference between something real and something fake.
Okay.
It was something I wanted to say to you or Tyson, just to both of you. I mean, when
Excuse
you're
me?
Young like that, when you're young, when you're born in a wheelchair, I think you have to be comfortable with yourself first before you date anyway. With anybody,
That's
whether you're in a wheelchair or not. If you're not comfortable with who you are, that person's not going to be comfortable with you either.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A great point.
Yes.
That is
yep.
a wonderful point. Have you always been comfortable with yourself, Darrell?
No. I as I got older, because I used to walk too. Even though I was born with CP, I used to walk at one time. So I had to adjust to life of not walking, like without the walker. So I used to walk without one. But I had to adjust to it all over again. And, you know, I wasn't comfortable with myself when I was younger. As I got 18, 19, like in my late teens, early 20s, that's when I became comfortable with me.
Okay.
And you don't
now, have you ever heard of...
You do not show that now. You're very kind, very polite, too. Yes.
I mean, I've always been polite, but I guess I just keep that to myself. But now I'm comfortable because I speak to everybody, and I'm very comfortable speaking to people. But I wasn't always like that.
If you had any advice for people, you know, who are living with disabilities, become disabled, because it's kind of hard. One of the things that, and I'm speaking as somebody who became disabled, you sort of compare yourself to what you used to be, you know, and you feel sort of broken a little bit. If you had any advice, you know, in accepting yourself, which is a very big part of getting on with your life. And you too, LaSue. What would that advice be? What would you say to somebody who's having trouble accepting themselves?
So, to me, first off, it starts with your family. Well, it depends on your family situation. If they don't accept you, you have to learn to love you first.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you accept you. You got to love you in whatever condition you're in, whether you can walk, whether you can't, whether you can hear, whether you can't, or whatever your physical limitations are, if you know, you got to love yourself first.
Okay. I'm sorry, but can you repeat that question again?
I was saying advice. What type of advice would you give somebody who's having a difficult time accepting their situation?
Well, my advice to anybody that's in a situation that's disabled, or whether they're disabled or not, physically, mentally, you know what I'm saying, because there's many different forms of disability. So whatever it is, you know, I mean, try to step out the box and do things that you normally won't do. I mean, you never know until you take a chance and find out. Like basically at the end of my life or whatever, you know, like I said in the beginning when I was in wheelchair, it was real easy for me to chase a woman down and like, hey sweetheart, you know what I'm saying? Let me holler at you, you know. Now it's like, oh, because of the time and ever and everything that's going on, you know, it's like women, like, you know, the way it is going is like, oh well, they don't have time a day to even talk to you, even on a just try to get to know you, unless it's something for them in it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of sad these days that we're living in how it is. And but for the, like I said, for the people that's out there, just take a chance. You never know where it leads you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the worst a person could ever really say to you is no. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, you know, I mean, hey. It's, like I said, it does deal with confidence and wisdom. So you got to be true and confident in yourself before you really be true and confident to somebody else to show them, you know what I'm saying, everything that you can offer them or what you are about.
Okay. Well, for your advice, really helped me already, huh? It helped me. What's up?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's your front line, brother. Look for what you want. You know saying? It's just like a target. It's just like a target in, out there, you know. Like, if you see something you want, I mean, come on. I mean, some people be like, oh, well, nah, I could never get her because, you know, that's how some people doubt themselves before they even give themselves a chance to really go out there and improve them and make themselves feel good about, yeah, they can go out there and go out there and date and be with somebody, you know what I'm saying, beautiful, you know. But beautiful isn't only in the outside, it's in the inside as well. So, you know what I'm saying? Well, if you find something that's beautiful outside as well as inside, then, hey, my brother, God bless you.
I got a comment to what you said, Russell. It's not only people. A lot of the people in this world don't have an open mind. Some people are not educated about people with disabilities. So when you meet somebody, if they're willing to open their mind to understanding you, then it'll make it easier for people to talk to you. Because not everybody's like that. Some people are very closed-minded.
When it comes to people with disabilities
and relationships and stuff.
I have a quick request, please. Because we have 3.5 minutes left to this interview, and I'm really enjoying it, and I think that you guys have so much to give and to say that will be helpful. Can we do this again next week?
Sure.
Monday?
Sure,
continue? Darrell?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good. Because you guys are, you really, really, you know, what you're saying, what you are helping us to understand, it's really a good thing, and I appreciate it, you know, because this whole part of accepting yourself and having that confidence, you know, before you can go out into the world and be with somebody else. I have a question. When people see the two of you together, have you heard anybody make any out-of-the-way comments, or do you get that pity look or, oh, they're so cute look, you know?
Yeah, I'll let you take this one, you know. I'll back it up, though, but I'll let you take this one, baby. Yeah.
I got the, oh, y'all so cute look and how y'all met and how long y'all been together. I get a lot of those. I haven't got the pity looks.
Okay.
I got mostly happy for you and, you know, and for other people who want to date and go out and date. Because a lot of people see me on Facebook and post the pictures and stuff that we do. And they do it too, and they post their pictures and they happy for me. But most of it, I got, I'm happy for you, and, you know, I got most of those.
Okay,
let me just go behind that one real quick. As far as with what I see with my own eyes and everything, it's like when we go out, I'm like, people, like you would see them, they could be driving their car, and they'd be like, you might have that one or two person look like, oh my God, they're holding hands in a wheelchair, and they're rolling down a block, and you know what I'm saying? And other couples are seeing it. It's more like a badge of honor, like, you know, to see a loving couple together, you know what I'm saying? Whether what situation they are, whether they're on their feet, they're not on their feet, they're in a wheelchair, whatever. Just some people just loving each other, you know, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing, and I love to see you guys. I really do. It gives me, it awakens something in me. Like, you know, I've done this years ago. You know, like, maybe you want to do it again. I don't know. But the show is about to come to an end, and I thank you so, so much for joining the show and for sharing with us. And hopefully you guys will come back next week at 6 o'clock, and we'll do part two, you know, because I think that you guys will really inject a boost of energy into our community, you know, to see that love is possible for us and in such a beautiful way.
Yes, it is. I see now. It is. Yes, it is.
Good. See, I told you, Tyson. I told you.
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to tell you guys, next week we're going to continue with part two of this interview right back here at 6 p.m. next Monday. And we'd love for you to join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Wade. The telephone number is 347-308-8494. Good night, everybody.
God bless.
Okay, man. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.